I'm Eric Cederstrom, CEO, shipping clerk, and janitor.
No state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation, grant letters of marque or reprisal, coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts, pass any bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the obligation of contracts, or grant any title of nobility. Article 1, Section 10.
He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 10 through 13.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network, and our guest this morning is Andrew Skousen, as usual on Friday, and he's going to bring us up to speed on the World Affairs Brief, the issues that his dad, Joel Skousen, has written about that he feels are the primary issues for this last week. Andrew, pick up the story. Tell us what's in the World Affairs Brief for this week.
Certainly, Dr. Stan. Thank you very much. Well, this week, the top story is that Republicans yield the budget fight before it begins. This week, the Republican leadership had yet another opportunity to fight the rampant spending in government, but the game was up before it began. Establishment Republicans proposed a budget bill with big spending increases that gutted any belt tightening from the previously hard-fought, quote-unquote, sequester bill. Except for a small minority of principled conservatives, Republicans meekly went along with the current bill because of the bruising they took over the recent government shutdown, and this was exactly according to plan. The last shutdown fight was sabotaged by the Republican leadership in Congress when House Speaker Boehner capitulated and voted to extend the debt limit on government spending. By capitulating without any concessions from the Democrats, the Republicans took the blame for everything, which effectively poisoned the process of blocking more debt and forever ensured that Republicans would never challenge the debt limit again. This week, that self-imposed blackmail came true. The Republican leadership sold out to the Democrats in a compromised budget deal that was worked out previously in secret. And yes, it spends more in order to avoid another shutdown. Those expectations for, quote, no painful shutdown ever again, end quote, will ensure that the deficit keeps growing. The public collective sigh of relief means that they take more satisfaction in avoiding any crisis now than the long-term debt problems of the future, which are ultimately fatal to an economy. The U.S. is now in a state of permanent denial. The debt limit law, as written, is powerful enough to stop the spending spree, since it effectively forces a balanced budget, but only if Congress refuses to authorize more deficit spending. Unlike a balanced budget amendment to the Constitution, the debt ceiling law is a regular check on debt and doesn't require a two-thirds majority to pass, as does a constitutional amendment. But the fly in the ointment is the power of the executive to pick and choose where and how he's going to use the remaining funds. A gaping hole in the constitutional doctrine of legislative control over taxation and spending. Naturally, in a spending war, Democrats choose to unnecessarily shut down or slow down essential government services that inconvenience Americans in order to turn public anger against those who won't authorize more debt. Most of the nation is relieved in an unprincipled way. As long as no one else in the establishment is worried about the inevitable debt cliff coming in the next decade, why should they? It's part of that mentality of, I don't care what happens, I just want my benefits to continue, whether they be food stamps, subsidized health care, student loans, grants, or foreign aid to their favorite nation. Cut the other guy's program. Tax the rich some more. All of this, of course, leads to more class hostility and divisiveness in the nation. While the specifics of this bill are mired in hundreds of pages of legalese, in general, the Ryan Murray bill will increase discretionary spending in the next 2 years by $62 billion, while claiming to achieve a net deficit reduction of $23 billion over 10 years. The big problem here is that budgets are never really followed by Congress. They're passed just to give the impression that government spending is restricted. It isn't really. It's discretionary, just like it says. In reality, there will be yet more spending authorized every year that follows the $62 billion increase. And the $23 billion decrease, like all decreases, will never materialize. Even if the $23 billion decrease happens, it is a pittance compared to the overall increase in deficit spending. The Congressional Budget Office, CBO, estimates the cumulative federal deficits over the next 10 years will be $6.3 trillion. So $23 billion amounts to a measly 0.36% in cumulative deficit. Remember, too, that this quote-unquote reduction isn't referring to an actual decrease in deficit spending, just a slowing of the increase of the increased spending, if that happens at all. Truth is, there is no political will to say no to the benefit-corrupted majorities that want their yearly fix of the federal trough. While the government claims some $17 trillion in overall debt, the real total, including government liabilities and obligations, exceed $120 trillion. And that doesn't even count the secret slush fund for black operations and secret bailouts to other nations, either by electronic money creation for the European Union or pallets full of cash for third world payoff. While tax rates aren't going up proportionate to these increases, the government is finding less resistance for other means of revenue collection, by calling them user, quote-unquote, fees. Joel says, I'm actually in favor of user fees to fund a lot of government, but not if the money being raised by the fee is used for other purposes. $8 billion more will be raised by increasing premiums on corporations that have defined benefit pension plans. Obamacare is taxing private health care plans, which will force more corporations to lessen benefits and cause a greater public outcry toward a quote-unquote cheaper single-payer government health care system. Slick. Naturally, they are also going to ding airline travelers with more fees to raise another $13 billion. Like cell phones, airlines are becoming the target of choice for raising taxes. Oops, Joel says, I mean fees. Ben Swan addressed the sequester aspect of this latest bill, which is slowly being whittled away. He says, quote, here's the best part. Remember in 2011 something called the Budget Control Act? You would probably remember it as the quote-unquote sequester. Sequester cuts were set up to create automatic spending cuts balanced between cutting defense spending and domestic spending. Part of the plan to reduce $23 billion in spending over 10 years is to first do away with those pesky automatic sequester cuts to the tune of $65 billion, end quote. By being able to bust the sequester limits, it effectively does away with the across-the-board cuts, which are fairly indiscriminate, but effective. There are a few things in the bill that are moving in the right direction. The bill increases the amount that newly hired federal workers will need to chip in to their own pension plan. As usual, older workers, which are the bulk of the system, will retain their fairly hefty retirement. As NBC News notes, workers enrolled in the federal employees' retirement system now contribute 0.8% of their pay to the retirement plan. The agreement would increase the required contribution by 1.3 percentage points for workers hired after December 31st of this year. But the deal would also cut cost of living, COLA, increases in retirement benefits for military retirees who are under age 62. Inflation is one of the biggest threats to retirement.
Hold that thought, Andrew. We'll be back in just a moment here at the American Freedom Network.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on! Trace Margaritas in Greeley thanks all the brave men and women in the armed forces who have served our country. To those heroes back home from missions abroad, know that your dedication, selflessness, and courage are appreciated. May God bless America. This message is from Trace Margaritas, 2319 8th Avenue in Greeley. Call 970-378-6662.
That's 970-378-6662, offering a 20% discount to veterans and those who served in our armed forces.
If you own a firearm, it's important to have proper training. Or if you're considering purchasing a firearm for self-defense, it's important to know the right person to train with. Josh at D&M TAC is a federally licensed firearms dealer, certified NRA instructor with a great firearms training course. Want more confidence with the operation of your firearm or to increase your precision and advance your level of training? This is the place. The hands-on in-depth classroom curriculum includes 4 hours of extensive range practice and basic firearms training, malfunction training, self-defense mindset, concealment training, and more, all at the greatest value in the gun training industry. If you want to learn proper firearm skills the right way, the first time, and want to surpass your current skill level, Josh at D&M TAC has the firearms training course for you. This course also qualifies you to apply for concealed carry permit and for advanced training. Beginner or advanced, tactical or defense, call 720-323-2534. That's 720-323-2534 and ask Josh about your KHNC listener discount.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network, our guest this morning, Andrew Skousen, and people don't understand, we're talking about $1 trillion a year, a deficit. That's what we're running now. That's what we've run for this last 5 years, $1 trillion a year deficit. And they're suggesting we're going to have this massive deficit cut. We're going to cut $26 billion over a 10-year period, which is $2.6 billion a year. From that $1 trillion deficit, and somehow this is accomplishing something, most people would shake their heads and say, I don't understand. Well, you're not supposed to understand. America's under attack today. The best way to destroy America is to send us into oblivion. And pretty soon, while we'll be, as the interest rates go up, we'll be putting out $1 trillion a year just in interest on the national debt, and soon the whole system collapses. That's just what they want. Go right ahead, Andrew.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. Well, the establishment is pretty confident that they have the votes to pass this bill, and Joel says, I think they are right. Hardline conservatives are complaining, but they just don't have the votes to stop this. The public's will to fight against deficits is pretty weak right now, and realistically, there's no way to pay off the public debt anyway, so it's all a matter of extending the time of default out far enough so that some future war will come along and justify a new world government and a new currency. Of course, it will still be controlled by the same people, but this way they escape the blame for the fall. The next story is about how Washington hates hardline conservatives. Constitutional conservatives are the most hated political sector in the nation now, and that hatred has become more vocal lately, even from Republican leaders. Simply put, this is because true conservatives make establishment Republicans look bad. They strip away the conservative mask to show politicians who don't really mean what they say. Rudy Takala of FreedomWorks.org has cataloged some candid examples of quote-unquote conservative wolves who are having trouble hiding behind their sheepskin. Quote, As establishment Washingtonians continue to lose popularity with voters, they're becoming increasingly Protestant of anyone who criticizes them. Here's a list of establishment Republicans who have condemned or threatened conservative organizations in recent memory. Senator Mitch McConnell. McConnell told donors on a conference call that he was going to punch anyone involved with the Senate Conservative Fund in the nose. Quote, you know how you deal with schoolyard bullies? You punch them in the nose, and that's what we're going to do, he said. Senator Orrin Hatch. When FreedomWorks reminded voters in 2012 that Orrin Hatch had voted to raise the nation's debt limit 16 times and also voted in favor of bailing out Wall Street bankers, Hatch was not pleased. He said he was going to punch someone in the mouth for reminding people how he voted. I despise these people, and I'm not the guy you come in and dump on without getting punched in the mouth, he said. Representative Pete Sessions. When FreedomWorks pointed out that House Rules Committee Chairman Pete Sessions refused to sign any letter calling for Obamacare to be defunded, Sessions disputed it. FreedomWorks claims are a blatant misrepresentation of the facts, he said. I have stood firmly on the side of the people of the 32nd Congressional District who want to see Obamacare thrown in the dustbin. Yet Sessions did, in fact, refuse to sign any statement that called for Obamacare to be defunded. If that had not been the case, he might not be facing a primary challenger in the Republican Katrina Pearson today. Senator John Cornyn. Continuing Representative Sessions' lamentations, Senator Cornyn bewailed the fact that conservatives were no longer working for Republicans who didn't support conservative policies. FreedomWorks is an organization that uses Republicans on Republican violence, Cornyn said. They don't exist to run against Democrats. They use it to try to divide Republicans, and I think they've undermined our ability to govern. End quote. The problem is that Washingtonians view governing as agreeing most of the time, even when it leads to policies bad for the country. Representative Adam Kinzinger. When Kinzinger appeared on ABC News this week at the end of the October shutdown, he took the opportunity not to talk about the forthcoming Obamacare rollout, but to complain that conservatives were getting too uppity. Quote, my concern with what's going on is we're seeing conservatism in essence being redefined in this country. It's being redefined by some of those outside groups, your Heritage Action, your Club for Growth, your Freedom Work. And you have a small group in Congress that has become the Surrender Caucus. They've surrendered their voting card to the wishes of these outside groups, end quote. On the other hand, Freedom Work says, Republicans in leadership have surrendered their voting cards to the wishes of Democrats in Congress. Kinzinger hasn't spent much time complaining about that problem. Representative Renee Elmers. In September, Representative Elmers grumbled that it wasn't her fault she had a low score with Heritage Action or Freedom Work. Asked by a voter at a town hall why her scores with conservative organizations were so low, she replied by complaining that groups like Freedom Works were wrong to attack Republicans for funding Obamacare. Quote, my question is, why did you go to Senator Richard Burr's office? This is Freedom Works. Why did you go to Richard Burr's office and protest about Obamacare, but you didn't go to Senator Kay Hagan's, the Democrat, and she was the deciding vote for Obamacare in the Senate, end quote. Joel inserts, because we expect Republicans to fight for liberty. Summers went on to say that groups like Freedom Works pick and choose who they're going to target. That is true. Freedom Works Political Action Committee and other organizations chose to endorse Elmers during her first campaign in 2010 because she ran on a platform of opposition to Obamacare. Yet it wasn't until she failed to follow through on that promise that she decided she had a problem with those organizations. Governor Haley Barbour. Speaking last month, former Mississippi Governor Barbour attacked the Senate Conservatives Fund and Club for Growth for spending money promoting the conservative Chris McDaniel for Senate in his state. We're not very influenced by outside groups, even outside groups that describe themselves as conservative. Maybe we're a little resentful of people trying to tell us our business. Every penny that's been spent has come from New York, California, Chicago, he said. Yet Barbour doesn't oppose all outside spending, only spending by conservatives. He served as an advisor for Karl Rove's Establishment Defense Fund, American Crossroads, last year. The Republican National Committee Growth and Opportunity Report. Conservative organizations have caused so much consternation for professional Washingtonians. The Republican National Committee's Growth and Opportunity Report said they were unhealthy, suggested outlawing them earlier this year. Quote, this is not healthy. A lot of centralized authority in the hands of a few people at these outside organizations is dangerous for our party. This report pushes hard for campaign finance reform that would help the RNC return to its rightful position as a national party leader, end quote. Joel says, actually, it is healthy to have this kind of exposure. As I've long said, the Republican Party at the top is controlled by the same CFR globalists that control the Democrats. The decline in influence of the RNC is no accident. Many conservatives are seeing it for what it is, a shill for big government and neocon interventionism. Continuing the Freedom Works quote, it is ironic, actually predictable, that Governor Barbour's nephew and former campaign manager Henry Barbour was one of the leading authors of the report. From punching them in the face to outlawing their political participation, Washington Republican leaders have some pretty dystopian visions for what should be done to conservatives who criticize them. It's cause to wonder whether those Republicans are very conservative at all. Joel says, yes, and that's putting it mildly. Well, now for some world policy talk. This is some background on the disputed Senkaku Island. Pepe Escobar, a journalist for Asia Times, has some good background on the Japan-China conflict that bears analysis. Escobar is known for his negative, acerbic, but often correct analysis of all things involving U.S. foreign policy. But he comes from a leftist background and doesn't see much danger from Marxists or communists. And this is reflected in this article. He says, quote, "It's been a source of endless fascination to follow the game of geopolitical Go being played since China declared an air defense identification zone, ADIZ, in the East China Sea. The spin in the United States is relentless. There is no less than saber rattling, a bellicose posture, and a unilateral provocation. The meeting last week between Chinese President Xi Jinping and U.S. Vice President Joe Biden in Beijing may have done nothing to dispel it," Joel inserts. "In reality, Escobar fails to see that the U.S. is being permissive with China. Biden kowtowed and never talked tough at all. The U.S. may take one minor jab at China with a B-52 overflight of the Chinese claimed ADIZ zone, and then backpedaled 10 steps, leaving allies hanging to take China's heat," continued Escobar's quote. In the hysteria front, this op-ed in the Financial Times, reflecting a warped consensus in the city of London, even managed to crank it up to pre-World War II level. Joe inserts, "There are those talking World War III already who don't understand the larger game plan of either the globalists or the Chinese or Russians." Continued Escobar, "Now compare it with the official Chinese media view for a more conciliatory take in China Daily to a no-holds-bar assertion of sovereignty in the Global Times," Joel says, "but everyone in China knows the hardline view is the official one." Escobar, "Which brings us to the scenario that the original provocation may have actually been Japanese and not Chinese. The whole drama is far from being just about a few islets and rocks that China calls Daiyo and Japan Senkaku, or the crucial access to the precious waters that surround them, harboring untold riches in oil and natural gas. It concerns no less than the future of China as a sea power rivaling the U.S. Let's start with the facts on the sea. Meiji-era documents prove, without a doubt, that the Japanese government not only admitted that these islands were Chinese, since at least the 16th century, but was also plotting to grab them. That's exactly what happened in 1895 during the First Sino-Japanese War, a historical juncture when China was extremely vulnerable. After the Japanese occupation of China and World War II, Washington was in control of the territory. A document signed by the Japanese promised the return of the islands to China after the war. It was never fulfilled. In 1972, the U.S. handed over their quote-unquote administration to Japan, but without pronouncing itself about who owned them. A gentleman's agreement between Chinese Premier Zhou Enlai and Japanese Prime Minister Takuya Tanaka was also in effect, but it was also ignored. Joel inserts, "What Escobar fails to see or account for is that Free China fell in 1947 after the U.S. cut off all military aid to General Chiang Kai-shek, while Russia kept arming Mao's Red Armies. When China became communist by force, the West felt no obligation to hand over additional territory. Of course, the U.S. only played lip service to that principle for a while, secretly plotting to displace Free China, i.e. Taiwan, at the UN and recognized Mao's ruthless government as the sovereign of China. All this betrayal took place at the Vietnam peace negotiations in Paris. Globalist Henry Kissinger was the architect of the plan." Continuing now back to the Escobar quote. "Geostrategically, it's even more complex. Virtually all of China's sea trade flows through choke points whose borders are either controlled by U.S. allies or nations that are not exactly allied with China. Imagine yourself as a Chinese naval strategist. You look at the seascapes around you, and all you see is what strategists call the first island chain. That virtual arc goes from Japan and the Ryukyu Islands and the Korean Peninsula in the north, moving southwards via Taiwan, Philippines, and Indonesia towards Australia. It's your ultimate nightmare. Assuming any serious confrontation along this arc, the U.S. Navy will be able to move its aircraft carriers around and seriously compromise China's access to its oil transported via the Straits of Malacca. Territorial disputes are the norm in the East and South China Seas. In the East China Sea, the focus is on the Daiyu Senkaku. In the South China Sea, it's the Spratly Islands, China opposed to Taiwan, the Philippines, and Vietnam, and the Paracel Islands, China opposed to Vietnam. Not to mention other disputes now on the back burner with Malaysia and Brunei. So from the point of view of our Chinese naval strategist, what is deployed is a sort of reverse Great Wall, an expression, by the way, immensely popular in circles such as the U.S. Naval War College. It's like an invisible seawall from Japan to Australia that can, in theory, block China's access to the Pacific. And if, and that's a major long-term if, there would ever be a U.S. blockade, with its sea trade lanes closed, the Chinese economy would be in tremendous trouble. They know it in Beijing, and they are willing to do anything to prevent it. End quote. Joel says, Escobar is making the case for China just defending its own national interests. But China isn't at all worried about a U.S. peacetime blockade of the island archipelago separating it from the Pacific. They may, however, use this as an excuse to justify increased aggressive posturing. But
hold that thought. Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Andrew Skousen here at the American Freedom Network.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on!
Delaney's Electric Incorporated in Ault honors the fighting men and women of our military and all of the veterans who have gone before you. We salute you and thank you for your sacrifice. We understand that freedom comes with a price. Our prayers go with you and your family. Stay safe, stay strong. May God bless America. This military tribute from Delaney's Electric Incorporated in Ault. For all your electrical work, call 970-834-1715. That's 970-834-1715.
To bring home the biggest Christmas tree, you better have the right trucks. The Ram lineup, with best-in-class 850 pound-feet of torque, best-in-class 7,320-pound payload, best-in-class towing capacity of up to 30,000 pounds, and best-in-class 25 miles per gallon highway. They're the hardest-working trucks that might just pull off a holiday miracle. Come get some of the best deals of the year at the Ram Big Finish event. Well-qualified lessees of competitive vehicles get a low-mileage lease on the 2014 Ram 1500 Express Quad Cab 4x4 with a Hemi V8 engine for $199 a month for 27 months with $2,719 due at signing. Tax, title, and license extra. 350 3500 pickups. Available Cummins diesel. Payload based on available 6.4-liter gas V8. Based on Ram 3500 Tradesman ST regular cab dually when properly equipped. EPA estimated 25 mpg highway based on V6 4x2. Call 1-877-RAM-5722 for details. 25-cent charge for each mile over 22,500. Requires dealer contribution, at least through Chrysler Capital. Residency restrictions apply. Take delivery by 1-6.
Did you call an 800 or an 888 number for a free report on gold and silver from people who claim they make no money? Did you get stuck with a bunch of foreign coins that you can't pronounce? Do you have rare coins that nobody can possibly value, or worse yet, rare coins from a sunken ship? Do you find out they really did make money on you? Are you getting called constantly by telemarketers to buy more or trade every day? Then most likely you've already lost a lot of money. Even if gold doubles or triples from here, you will still lose money. We can help. It's not too late to get your holdings into American products and still take advantage of major market moves. Call the Patriot Trading Group at 1-800-951-0592. No hassle, no hype, no bait and switch, and no complaints. After two decades of service, we're still here for you. Call 1-800-951-0592 or go to allamericangold.com and you'll be treated with honesty and respect. You have my word on it. I'm Eric Cederstrom, CEO, shipping clerk, and janitor.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network. Our guest is pointing Andrew Skousen. Let me just point out for our listeners that nothing in the world is as it appears to be. Most people think of Japan as a sovereign nation. It is not, as an occupied nation. We have 35,000 troops permanently stationed there. If we had 35,000 Japanese troops stationed in Washington, D.C., do you really think that people would recognize America as a sovereign nation? We have 45,000 troops permanently stationed in Germany. These are occupied nations. They do what they are told to do. They may have their own elected government, but those governments follow through with what they're told to. We imposed communism on China. We installed the Chinese communist government there in 1948, 1949, after we put an embargo on the nationalist government. We pretend to be anti-communist, and we pretend there's a battle between China's communism and America. But remember, we are doing everything we can to build up communist China. We certainly have established our corporate tax system to encourage American corporations to move over there. We give them tariff breaks. In other words, they can bring their products into America without tariffs. They have large tariffs in China to prevent our products from going over there. And although we pretend that we're constantly in conflict with communist China, it's all just exactly as it is the conflict with Fidel Castro's Cuba. Remember that David Rockefeller's daughters go down regularly to visit with their good friend Fidel Castro. And Fidel comes up to visit with David Rockefeller. And if you doubt that, read David Rockefeller's memoirs. We brought Fidel Castro to power knowing he was a communist. He is very good friends with the daughters of David Rockefeller, who is the most powerful man in America today. Nothing as it appears to be. Reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. Andrew, you go right ahead.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. Well, the U.S. is well aware of China's intent to capture this barrier reef of island nations, but is doing nothing to stop it. Just as the Allies did nothing to stop Hitler from building for World War II, war is the greatest vehicle of globalist change. Escobar finishes with this. Beijing may be right on principle and certainly does not want to create facts on the sea. What happened was essentially a PR disaster, an inability convincingly to sell the ADIZ to world public opinion. Absolutely nothing will convince any Chinese administration that this is not about Japan encroaching upon a territory and sphere of sovereignty that have been Chinese for centuries, end quote. Joel says, it's a bit naive of Escobar to posit that China will someday go to war with Japan over these tiny islands. It may be the excuse, but the real goal is to take out the U.S., who will be drawn into any conflict, whether it be South Korea or Japan, due to their mutual defense treaties. Of course, U.S. globalist leaders know all this too, and that's why they're going to let these conflicts fester until China feels justified in launching against the U.S., against the West. Meanwhile, the U.S. is making preparations to put an anti-ballistic missile system on Guam, which is well positioned to project U.S. power into the region. SDMP.com has the story. Quote, the U.S. is planning to station anti-ballistic missile systems on the Pacific island of Guam, a move ostensibly to defend against unpredictable North Korea, to which analysts say may be intended to counter China. Within Washington's defense plans for next year are provisions for siting terminal high-altitude area defense, THAAD, systems on the island territory, combined with the broader realignment of U.S. forces in the Asia-Pacific region. Under those movements, United States troop numbers on the Japanese island of Okinawa are due to be cut, with troops from the Futenma Air Station relocated to an enlarged base in the northeast of the prefecture, while others will be reassigned to Guam, South Korea, and Australia, end quote. Pressure has been building for years now in Japan to get the U.S. military out of Okinawa. Okinawa is strategically located to block any Chinese naval aggression, and Joel says, I fully expect the U.S. to relinquish its bases there within the next few years. The current reassignments show that this is already beginning. If the U.S. was serious about blocking Chinese moves in the area, it would stay in Okinawa. This retreat is a replay of the years leading up to World War II, where the U.S. both disarmed and pulled back from extended critical bases. The Pentagon, in concert with bilateral negotiations with Japan, announced the U.S. military presence on Guam was needed to protect Japan from North Korean missile threats that are projected to increase. This isn't the first time that THAAD and Patriot interceptor missiles have been stationed on Guam. But if the U.S. were really serious about countering future Chinese moves, they would put them on Okinawa. Continuing the quote, politicians on Guam also requested that it have permanent missile systems as defense against North Korean missiles. However, Go Ito, a professor of international relations at Tokyo's Meiji University, said, My feeling is that while they may be naming North Korea, this is more aimed at China. Joel says, that's wishful thinking on Japan's part. They don't know that they too will be betrayed in this next war, just like the Philippines and Australia will be. Finishing the quote, North Korea has missile technology and there are concerns about political stability in Pyongyang at the moment. But China has developed its own missile capability, so that is a bigger concern for the U.S. These missiles are targeted at any prospective threat that China might pose in the future, Ito said. And putting them on Guam does away with the possibility of causing new political problems in Okinawa, end quote. Just to complicate matters, South Korea announced on Sunday that it was expanding its air patrol, ADIZ, to include airspace over the East China Sea that is also claimed by Beijing and Tokyo. Well, while we're in the area, let's talk about the purge in North Korea. Kim Jong-un's powerful uncle has been purged from the military, a definite sign of change in the Dark Kingdom of North Korea. North Korea's economic situation is expected to worsen following the removal of Jang Song-sek, Kim Jong-un's once powerful uncle and guardian, as he had handled all economic projects of foreign countries. He was suspected of being the power behind the throne of three generations of Kim. That doesn't mean the military isn't a ruling force in North Korea, but rather that the old guard is being pushed out to make way for younger generals. The building of the massive China-North Korea tunnel under the Yalu River, combined with large Chinese-North Korean military exercises, are a continuing indication of North Korea's role as the tip of the spear for China when China finally makes her move on the West. However, there are some cracks showing up in the country. South Korean news agency Yonhap filed this report. Quote, North Korea has begun to sell large amounts of gold to China in a bid to tide over its economic crisis, multiple sources familiar with North Korean affairs said Wednesday. The disposal could be an indication of an imminent economic collapse as it goes against founding leader Kim Il-sung's order to never sell the country's gold, according to the sources. Since several months ago, North Korea has begun to sell even its gold, one source said, asking that he not be identified. Overseas sales of gold are a barometer of whether the North Korean economy is in a crisis or not. It is the first time that North Korea has sold gold since its leader, Kim Jong-un, took power in late 2011, following the death of his father, Kim Jong-il, the sources said. Kim Il-sung is the current leader's grandfather. According to South Korean government data, North Korea holds about 2,000 tons of gold reserves, worth at least $8 billion U.S.
Hold that thought, and hold that thought. We're going to a break, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on!
Square Root Construction is pleased to help support the American Freedom Network by offering a high-quality custom deck construction services. Established in 1990, Square Root Construction has been building high-quality decks and other types of outdoor living projects all along the Northern Front Range. We are licensed, insured, and have all the experience, knowledge, and skills to help you create the outdoor living oasis of your dreams. For your free consultation and no-obligation quote, give Doug a call at 303-517-8742. Or visit us on the web at squareconstruction.com.
Guard your rights. The Tanner Gun Show this weekend in Loveland at the Ranch. Over 500 dealer tables with twice as much merchandise as any other show. Unbelievable selection and prices on guns, knives, ammo, survival gear, and a huge assortment of outdoor gear and accessories. From antiques and collectibles to the latest technology. Tanner Gun Shows are buy, sell, trade, so bring your guns. The Tanner Gun Show this Saturday and Sunday at the Ranch in Loveland, next to the Budweiser Event Center. Exit 259 off I-25. Doors open at 9. Concealed carry permit classes available at the show. Go to TannerGunShow.com.
Tri-Property Management at Greeley asks everyone to get involved in our community this holiday season. Whether it's food for a family in crisis, a toy for a needy child,
Care packages for military members are giving the gift of life by giving blood. You can make a difference and directly affect someone's life. Be a part of something great. This message from Tri Property in Greeley. For a full range of homes or apartments for rent, call 970-352-1025 or visit TryPlacesToLive.com.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this morning, Andrew Skousen, bringing us up to date with this week's World Affairs Brief, which is written by his dad, Joel Skousen. Andrew, before we go on, would you like to tell our listeners how they could subscribe to the World Affairs Brief and then how they could get Joel's books?
Yes, thank you, Dr. Stan. People should log on to our website, worldaffairsbrief.com. That's all one word with an S on affairs, worldaffairsbrief.com. There they can find an easy button for signing up for the World Affairs Brief. It's a modest fee for a full year of the brief coming to your inbox every week. They can also access all of the past briefs within the website itself, so they can read up on anything Joel has written about in the past. Even if they don't sign up for the brief, they should check out the website. We are always posting news stories there to help people supplement their news perusal. And there's a link there for our other website, joelskousen.com. And joelskousen.com lists all of the works of Joel Skousen and has ways of ordering those. Those include Strategic Relocation, North American Guide to Safe Places, The Secure Home, and The High Security Shelter. All of these books are designed to help people find a safe place to live and then reinforce the area in preparation for hard times. Those books are also available to you at Radio Liberty, right, Dr. Sam?
That's right. You can get them by calling 1-800-544-8927. And let me suggest that you really should be making preparations for the difficult times that lie ahead. The elite are doing that. After all, are they planning on this whole system collapsing? That's why they have the Doomsday Seed Bank up there 800 miles from the Arctic Circle with frozen seeds, so that they will have seeds to utilize when they start in all over again. There are underground facilities all across America, well-stocked with ammunition. That's why they bought the 1.6 billion rounds of ammunition. They have massive food supplies, but it's only for the elite. They're not making preparations for the average individual as they are in China and in Russia. They're protecting their citizens against this event, and I'm not certain what it's going to be, whether it'll be a war or certainly an electromagnetic pulse attack that takes out the electricity or some sort of a bacteriological or a plague. I'm not certain what it is, but I do know the elite are planning on a major event because they have the facilities set aside for themselves. You should start doing the same. That's why the books are so important. And you can get Joel's books on strategic relocation or building a secure room or home at 1-800-544-8927. Go right ahead, Andrew.
That's right, Dr. Stan. And with the way that China and Russia are more and more openly building up their arms supply, the world is looking like a scarier place. Meanwhile, we here at The Brief are commenting on Mandela's continuing communist connection. The South African Communist Party actually recently handed conservatives a major I told you so victory. Not that it will do any good, given the massive wave of media propaganda in favor of this terrorist hero. The New American reported this, quote, "Shortly after the death of South African revolutionary Nelson Mandela, the South African Communist Party and the African National Congress both released official statements acknowledging what was already well known among experts. Quote-unquote, Comrade Mandela was indeed a Communist Party leader who served on the Soviet-backed organization's Central Committee. According to the Communist Party statement on Mandela's passing, not only was the confessed terror leader a senior official at the South African Communist Party's, SACP's, highest decision-making body, he was actually close to the outfit until his death. Well, there you have it in black and white. Don't expect the mainstream media to pick up on it, however. The news will continue to be treated with complete blackout, just like the defaming evidence of Martin Luther King's communist connection, which had been sealed up for 50 years in the National Archives. Some of the other stories in this week's brief is that the U.S. policy is pushing Arabs toward Russia. There is a planning trap from FEMA that is encouraging citizens and small towns to get on to FEMA for planning for natural disasters. We are discouraging that people do this because it is, in fact, a trap toward getting involved with a great amount of government paperwork and government advisors, which are not going to help much in a real difficult scenario. They all just come up with a quote-unquote plan. You can't really prepare for a difficult situation without a great outlay of expense and materiel and equipment, which, of course, is beyond most of the budgetary needs for small towns, unless they get on board with a government dole or a government subsidy, which requires even more paperwork, and it ultimately gives up the say of how that equipment will be used, since it will still, it all comes with strings attached. We also comment about whether Rand Paul is going to run for president in 2016. Despite some compromises disappointing to hardline conservatives, Rand Paul is still very much the future force to be reckoned with, we say. Now that the powers that be are pushing liberals like Chris Christie, who's looking more like the dangerous liar he is, as the conservatives see more of him. Rand Paul, Ted Cruz, and Mike Lee seem to be the three senators most willing to take a stand on issues like Obamacare, deficits, and amnesty. All of these senators have their flaws and weaknesses, but the establishment is worried about any one of these three causing a rebellion in Republican presidential ranks. Mike Lee is a bit too young and cherubic to make it as president this early in his career, Joel thinks. Cruz has more charisma, but often lacks gravitas. Rand Paul has the demeanor to make it if he wasn't trying so hard to play with the likes of Mitch McConnell and other Washington insiders who only intend to betray him. So it was with some disappointment to conservatives when Fox News broke the story that for now they can't count on Rand Paul running for president. It said this, quote, Kentucky Republican Senator Rand Paul tapped his brakes this weekend on a potential 2016 presidential run, saying his wife has yet to support the idea. Paul said jokingly after a speech Friday night in Detroit.
We're out of time, Andrew. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you again next week. Thanks for being with us.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on!
If you own a firearm, it's important to have proper training. Or if you're considering purchasing a firearm for self-defense, it's important to know the right person to train with. Josh at D&M TAC is a federally licensed firearms dealer, certified NRA instructor with a great firearms training course. Want more confidence with the operation of your firearm or to increase your precision and advance your level of training? This is the place. The hands-on in-depth classroom curriculum includes 4 hours of extensive range practice and basic firearms training, malfunction training, self-defense mindset, concealment training, and more, all at the greatest value in the gun training industry. If you want to learn proper firearm skills the right way, the first time, and want to surpass your current skill level, Josh at D&M TAC has the firearms training course for you. This course also qualifies you to apply for concealed carry permit and for advanced training. Beginner or advanced, tactical or defense, call 720-323-2534. That's 720-323-2534 and ask Josh about your KHNC listener discount.
Article 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses,
papers and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall be issued but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the places to be searched and the persons or things to be seized.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly we want to caution people we're entering into difficult times. Certainly, I'm not a financial analyst, but I did an interview yesterday with John Williams, who is an independent economist. And if you haven't gone to his website, shadowstats.com, shadowstats.com, you should go there and read what he says, because basically he's telling you the inflation rate is not 1 to 2%, as they're telling us. It's between 4 and 8%. Unemployment rate is not 7%. The real unemployment rate, if you calculate this by the U6, Bureau of Labor Statistics, as they did 20 years ago, the real unemployment rate about 22%, if you take into account certainly the unemployed, the underemployed, and those who've simply given up looking for work. We are not out of recession. We never came out of the recession. We're still in a recession, and it's only going to get worse. And this coming year is going to be a very bad year. Gerald Celente is saying exactly the same thing. Begin preparing for the difficult times that lie ahead. And certainly this is the time when I do need to remind our listeners that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported. As you know, we do 5 hours of talk radio a day, 5 days a week. We have to buy on many of our stations the time. And we do need your help to maintain that. And we do have certainly 14 or 15 stations, both our afternoon and our evening programs, where people all across the nation, and indeed all across the world through the miracle of Internet, are hearing the truth, and more people are becoming aware of the fact that we really are involved in a spiritual battle for the survival of Christian civilization and of this nation. So if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family, our number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to understand what's going on, we have a 4-CD set on the secret government, a 4-CD set on secret societies. And there really are secret societies out there, ladies and gentlemen. They're not imaginary. They're very real. And then, of course, we have my book, The Brotherhood of Darkness, which will give you a good oversight into the really sinister spiritual forces, using what they say rather than what I say as an understanding of what's going on. And basically, then, of course, if you haven't heard my talk on Agenda 21, the covert plan, you need to get it, or on population control, the secret agenda. Because there really are forces at work that intend to markedly limit our population, that have already killed several billion people throughout the world, or at least prevented from being born. After all, there have been 400 million unborn children suddenly aborted in China, 400 million in India, 400 million in Russia. In fact, Russia today is paying people to have children. They're giving them something like $9,000 to have a child in Russia because of the disastrous effects it's having on their whole economy. And the same thing is going to happen here in America. We've aborted over 57 million children.